Hey there, this is Steph from StephFuccio.com with another episode of Geopat's Coffee. I am so excited today to bring to you Yuki from Book Nerds Tokyo, and she was on Geopat's Books, oh gosh, what, a year and a half ago? I don't know, COVID time is still penetrating my head, so it's hard to remember exactly, but I'll put the link in the show notes for you. And on that episode, she talked about coffee for just a second, but there was joy in her voice. And I knew she had to come back and talk to me, because in the Geopat's book episode, books episode, she talked to Tatjana, our guest host on that episode. So here I am talking to Yuki. But actually, before we get to that, I do want to tell you a couple of things happening with the podcast. It's been a little touch and go on keeping this one going because of a lack of guests. So if you know somebody who travels the world or knows something very specific about coffee where they are, that's outside of preferably North America, that would be amazing. I would love to talk to them. I do want to keep this podcast going. Just drop me an email, find me on social media. I am Stephfuccio, literally everywhere, and that is my email address. Also, there is a absolutely amazing Instagram account. And I say that, okay, it's mine, right? But it's Geopat's Coffee's account. And the people that make the coffees are not me. So this is not me boasting, but I just take pictures of the coffee that I have every day and I put them on the account, and over 2,000 people are following it. So it must be an okay grid, right? So I'd like you to join it too. So if you just go over to Instagram and do a quick search for Geopat's Coffee, you'll find us. Join us. Take a look at my grid. Share some of your coffee. Let me know you're listening to this podcast. I also have a million other podcast projects going on, and you can find them all at StephFuccio.com. I also offer podcast editing services, podcast auditing services, and so much more. There's a lot going on. I love podcasts, and I love that you are listening to this podcast. So anyway, let's get to the coffee global goodness, shall we? Here is Yuki and I chatting about, you know, that thing, that liquid thing that we like, coffee. Thank you so much, Yuki, for joining us over here on the Geopat's Coffee podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
For those of you who listen to a variety of the Geopat's Podcast Network podcast, you may recognize Yuki's voice from Geopat's Books last year when she came on and talked with guest host Tatjana. So this is a double pleasure to have you back on.
Thank you. That was so much fun.
That was so much fun to listen to. Yeah.
We couldn't stop talking. And that was, yeah. Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. Like, the reason why you're here today is because there was a moment in that when I was editing that episode when I heard coffee come up and it sounded like joy. And I was like, oh, return guest. She's got to come back and talk about coffee.
Yes. It's one of my favorite topics in the world, yeah. Besides books.
Me too. I started a coffee Instagram account last year to support this podcast, and that's way more active than the podcast itself. And let me tell you, in the morning when I'm having my coffee, or even if I just have tea that day, I'll scroll through and just look at pictures of coffee, and it's such a sense of calm.
Yes, absolutely. I every single day, if you look at my Instagram too, there's always a cup of coffee, never without it. That's the first thing that I do, is decide which cup to use, which mug to use, and then I decide what I'm going to take a picture of.
The mug choice is important.
Yes, the mug is first. Yes.
Are you drinking anything right now?
I am. Right now I'm just drinking hot water because it's 6 p.m. It's in that right in between time where it's too late for coffee, but a little early for my wine or whatever drink. Yeah. Nighttime drink. It's Friday night here. So yeah.
That's just right, it is Friday night. Oh, thank you for doing this on a Friday night. I'm in perpetual blurs day, so it didn't even dawn on me it was a weekend. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Fridays don't mean anything anymore. It doesn't matter at all. I would be here anyway at home.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, we usually do a perfunctory sip of whatever beverage we're working on. So I know it's water, not coffee, because of time of day. But would you mind doing a...
would you be able to do a very loud, obnoxious sip of your beverage?
Let's see if I can do that.
Okay. All right. Let's do it on 3, 2, 1. All right. Oh, A plus to us. Nicely you. Done. That's not easy to do with water, so I'm impressed.
Yeah. In Japan, they really make a big deal about slurping. You're supposed to drink tea with the loud slurp, mm-hmm. and soups and ramen and stuff. And I can't do it. And so we were trained not to make sounds with our soup. So whenever I go out to eat, everyone around me is always eating so loudly and slurping their soup so loudly. And I'm just sitting there quietly nibbling my noodles.
Oh my gosh. See, I'm the polar opposite. I got used to that because we lived in Asia for, I want to say, almost 15 years in different countries.
Wow.
And in most of them, it was a sign of respect and that you appreciated what you were drinking,
yes.
when you slurped your soup. And so it's sort of like me riding a scooter in Asia versus me riding a scooter in the US. I couldn't do it after riding in like Vietnam and Taiwan because rules weren't really rules there. So if I rode in the US, it'd be dangerous for everyone. Same thing with soup. I can't really have soup in public in the West because I will slurp automatically now.
Right. It's so funny. Habit is so funny. My husband, yeah. he slurps his pasta, his spaghetti. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. He's Japanese. And I'm like, no, don't do that.
It's so funny what parts it spreads out to and what parts it doesn't. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Well, let's get back to beverages.
Okay.
I know you were on Geopath's book. I know you were on Geopath's book, but let's do a quick rundown of your Geopathness. So in list form, if possible, what places in the world we'll start with places. What places in the world have you lived?
So I was born in Tokyo, but moved to LA when I was 4, grew up in LA, stayed until I was 24, when I moved to Okinawa for 10 years to work. And then I moved to New York for 4 years. And then now I'm in Tokyo and it's coming on my 7th year in Tokyo.
Wow. Okay. And, are there any other places or cultures that you've been to but haven't lived for long stretches that have made an impression on you?
Oh, definitely. European. I haven't been able to stay for very long, but, you know, a month stay here, a month stay there in Paris, and just the coffee culture there, and then cafe culture. Anywhere where there is a great cafe culture, I will happily live there for months at a time, years if I can.
But, so you mentioned Paris. Is that the main place in Europe or were there some others?
Yeah, Paris. And then just other places were just quick jaunts, quick visits that I couldn't claim to have stayed for very long. But Paris is the one where I stayed. I rented an apartment and stayed for a little while. But it's mostly for me has been LA, New York, and Japan, back and forth between those three locations.
Quick question. Do you ever say bi-coastal when you talk about living in New York and LA?
I have never said that. I do say East Coast, West Coast, yes. or... New York, LA, but I've never said bi-coastal.
Yeah, I don't know where I picked it up, but I started to say it. And my husband, who's from Idaho, which is so not coastal, like kind of pokes at me like, oh, you bi-coastal. So, like he makes fun of me. But I thought it was actually a quick way to say multiple places, but meh. Anyway, maybe may have a darker connotation than I'm aware of. But anyway, sidetrack. So you said because of the time of day, it's evening there, you're not drinking coffee now. But what do you normally make in the morning?
Drip. I just do a hand drip coffee every morning, ground my beans, and then the first thing that I do in the morning is put a pot of water on the stove and turn it on. And then I go and brush my teeth and wash my face and do all that. And I just wait for water to boil and then I do a hand drip. And yeah, just black coffee, nothing in it, no sugar, no milk, no cream, nothing like that.
Yay. So by hand drip, do you mean the cone or do you have another contraption?
It's a cone. It's one of those paper filter cones.
Yeah. Okay, we have to know the color or the material. Is it plastic? Walk us through this.
Oh yeah, it's a ceramic, it's a dark blue ceramic coffee filter that my husband found when he was traveling around Japan. And there's so many wonderful ceramic towns in Japan where they have their own style of pottery and ceramics. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember which town this was, but he came back with it. And I've happily been using that. And it's just big enough for one person. So if he's up and I'm pouring two, I'll just pour one at a time.
Beautiful. And because it was handmade, did the filters fit in there okay, or is it a little bit
off? The filters are a little big, like, but yeah, I've tried different sizes. I've tried the filters for 1 to 2 cups and the 3 to 4 cups, and I think it's okay as long as it's not over, and as long as I don't put in too much hot water, it's fine. It works.
Gotcha. Have you experimented with other ways of making it?
No, everywhere I go, I have my own kind of bean grinder, and I buy, yeah, I love the hand drip. Right. My friend did get me one of those Nespresso latte making machine. As a wedding gift, a couple of years ago. And while it's delicious, it really is delicious. I think I just prefer in the morning to have a bigger cup of coffee than the small espresso shots. Yeah. Those are great, but I'm all about the, okay, I just need a big mug full of coffee. So I tend to just do the black coffee.
Sure. And what kind of roast do you usually get? What kind of bean?
I'm not into the high acidity. So I think I like a full roast more than a city roast. Mm-hmm. I tend to go on the darker end. I'm fine with bitter and dark, but I'm not good with the acidic kind of sourness.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite region that you like, a region or country or whatnot that you like?
Guatemala is one that I keep going back to.
Yeah,
I keep going back to whenever I order coffee, I drink coffee out just in a cafe or somewhere, and if I didn't specify Guatemala and I get it, and if I like it, I usually ask what it is, and it tends to always be Guatemala. So I realized that this is my favorite. This is probably one of my favorite regions.
Me too. Absolutely. Mm. When I was in Shanghai last year 2 years ago. There was one Starbucks that was trying out a roast from Weiwei Tenango, which nobody knows unless you've been there. It's like if you're looking at Guatemala, it's in the west northern part, just before you hit Mexico, way up in the mountains. Super small, like border town. And oh my gosh, it was really good. I was very, very, very surprising. I was like, wait, Starbucks has this, but nobody else does. Wait, what's happening?
right. Yeah.
The world's upside down. But I was really excited because I also love Guatemalan roasts, especially the ones that have a chocolatey.
Yes. So even when I switch brands, I always try their Guatemala to see if that's a brand that I want to stay with.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So it's your go-to kind of tester.
I think my tongue knows the Guatemala that I like.
Very true.
This is sounding very, very coffee snobbish.
That's what we're here for. Judge, but we do get specific because we do have preferences. I mean, our taste buds are what they are, and you can't fight it. I mean, I'm not going to judge anybody that likes. What's the coffee I don't like? I would judge somebody that actively only drinks the Nespresso stuff. It's something I have to admit.
Right.
But I understand the convenience. However, okay, wait, talking about the Nespresso stuff, how is that different than, what's the other one where you put the pod in and it has different?
Oh, mine's I don't know what the other one that you're talking about is, but mine has the pods. It came with the pods,
right,
and you
right,
just
right.
stick the pods in there.
Yeah. Oh, what is
it? But I haven't bought more. I just have used the ones that came with, and I enjoyed them. And I don't know. I don't know why I didn't go out and buy more pods. I think I just prefer the black coffee.
Yeah. There's probably a big difference in the coffee that's in the pods or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there was a machine that I think it's still really popular that does something similar to the Nespresso, but you can also put in tea pods and like other things, not just coffee. But I don't know what it's called.
I don't know about that.
So when you go out and have coffee, do you stick to just black coffee, that drip coffee, or do you have anything else?
Actually, it's when I go out and buy coffee, that's when I tend to buy the lattes and the cappuccinos, because mm-hmm. I can't make them at home in the way that I like.
Yep.
where it's really frothy and yeah, so that's when I tend to drink the espresso drinks when I go out. Mm-hmm. But it also depends on time of day, how full I am, how much I need to concentrate, if I'm trying to get some work done, how cold it is outside. Sometimes when it's really cold, the milky drinks tend to warm me up more than the black coffee. So I will get a piping hot cappuccino, burn my tongue, but kind of love that if it's really cold.
I agree. So. Okay, I'm really glad you said that, because you were going hardcore black coffee for a while. But because when it is winter, I need frothy milk.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's just the best. Yeah, and not at home, clearly. Yeah, because that foam, no matter what kind of espresso machine I've tried, no matter what kind of mm-hmm. technique, or using the French roast, no, what's it called? French press to make it frothy. Mm-hmm. Nothing works right there.
Right.
Magical in coffee shops. I don't know how they do it.
Oh yeah. But, I just love that whole experience of the sound, the whirring sound in the coffee shop, and the I do love it. I do love it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss coffee shops.
I know. That's what I miss the most.
I know. Like, I'm going to some here in Tirana, Albania, but I'm going to the outside ones for obvious reasons, pandemic and all that. So I don't hear the sounds while they're making stuff. Mm-hmm, I'm just outside kind of looking as they're doing it.
Right. Same.
Yeah. And I look forward to doing... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, I haven't sat in a cafe and just for hours and read or worked or anything obviously in the past year.
Yeah, me neither.
It's been a lot of takeout, but yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I can't wait. I haven't done any coffee interviews in a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to doing that in the future. I will bring the equipment. I will do it happily.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with the sounds in the background. Yeah! That would be amazing.
Right? Right? Because I started doing the coffee interviews after things got funky. So I haven't had the chance to do that. Like, I have some language, like Geopet language episodes, I just met people in coffee shops because it just felt safer to inviting complete strangers to talk about language in my home. Then I'm like, let's just go to the coffee shop. So there were residual coffee sounds in the background, but it doesn't match the content. So I'd love to have that pairing in the future.
Oh, I love that. I just imagine that and just,
I could put artificial sounds in, like, get taken out from the other ones and put it in, but it just doesn't feel right.
No. You know when it's real and there are the voices.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so what are your thoughts on foam art?
Foam art.
Very highfalutin question.
I don't need it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll smile when I'm handed a latte with a beautiful foam art. Mm-hmm. Some people are really talented, and I make sure to tell them how talented they are, and I make sure to thank them. And yeah, it just brings a smile to my face.
You're so kind. Okay. I've been seeing some multicolor foam art recently in my Instagram feed, and my knee-jerk reaction is, color doesn't exist. It should be brown and white. And I don't know why I'm having this reaction, but I see like things with like four or five colors, and it's almost like a painting. And it obviously took time and effort, but for some reason I'm resisting. I don't know.
What are the colors made from? What are they made of?
Right. Maybe that's what my reaction is I'm thinking it's going to pollute it. It's got to be food coloring, I think.
Right. Okay. How about, have you seen, I've had my face on a latte art once, a photo of me.
Yes.
Those are so, wow, that was interesting. This is in Hawaii, in Honolulu. I had a cup of coffee and the barista was like, do you have a photo of yourself? That I can put on your latte. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And so I looked through my phone and I was like, here, sure, try this. And then he did. And my latte had a face of me on it. And that was an interesting experience.
Right. Yeah. My husband and I did that when we were in Hong Kong visiting and paid quite a bit for it. They scanned it or something. I guess they gave the picture and they scanned it and they put us on there. And then when it came to the table, I realized we have to sip ourselves to get
through. Right. Exactly.
Exactly. So weird.
It's this very meta thing of taking a photo of you on a coffee.
Yeah. it's just so bizarre.
But the barista was so, again, just really nice and accommodating. So I was like, sure, why not? That was fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm glad I did it once, but I was not fully prepared for my reaction to it.
Right.
It was so expensive that I'm like, well, one, I'm kind of curious how it tastes. And two, we just spent money on this. So I'm going to consume this because it is still coffee and I love coffee. Mm-hmm. But it was very strange to see. And how perfectly the picture came out, too.
Yes. Yes. I still don't understand how that works. But
it was
exactly really puzzling. My face on the foam.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so latte art tends to be a lot of flowers, and I'm not exactly sure how as a global coffee culture we've landed on that, but have you seen other things that are not typical latte art?
Bunnies, bears, cats, lots of animals in Japan. Yeah. how they love the kawaii, that everything's cute. Those are the ones that have caught my attention are the little bunnies and the cats and the puppies.
Yeah.
Oh, also hard to drink.
Yeah. You're in the land of 3D foam art too. Have you had many of those?
I've not had.
What?
No, I've not had one. Probably because just I haven't been going to cafes, but I've seen them in magazines.
That's funny. Okay. Can you see the chat here?
I can.
Okay. I just found a picture of the one of the multicolored latte arts, and I want you to verbalize your reaction as you open it, if you don't mind.
Okay, I'm opening it now. Okay, rainbow latte art. Yeah, I don't know about the coloring. It's just so vivid and so, I don't know. It doesn't really look like coffee to me. It looks like paint. It looks like just watercolor.
It does. Maybe it's just the artificialness of the taste that we're anticipating.
I don't know. I don't think I need this very much. I like my brown. I like my brown and just foamy, creamy.
Imagine if I was in a coffee shop and they did that automatically, I'd probably take a ton of pictures because it would be a one-off and I'd never order that coffee again. But as a standard, I don't think I would lean towards that.
This does look like something that would happen in Japan as well, in Tokyo, in Harajuku or something.
Although my one like 3D foam art was actually in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where was it even? I think it was near downtown. I don't even know. We were just wandering, strategically bus wandering one day, and that makes no sense. How can you strategically wander? But whatever. And we ended up at this cafe. Oh, maybe it was in Japantown because we went to a couple of specialty coffee shops in the neighborhood. But it was so long ago now. But it was the first time I saw it on the menu. It had the pictures with the Japanese and the English. It must have been in Japantown.
I can see that happening. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. It was hard to it was hard to drink because it's not like you could kind of, I mean, you could kind of scoop because it was a dog. I could scoop and eat the dog first and then go in, but that felt kind of rude. The moral dilemmas of FOMAR.
Dilemmas. Wow. That could be traumatizing.
Right. Well, let's expand out. And actually, let's go back to past Coffee Yuki. When did you first fall in love with coffee?
I think I actually didn't have it until I was in my 20s and working and needing something to stay up. when I woke up, I just needed something. And I think my first was just I usually had my lattes at Starbucks or whatever. And then one day in my mid 20s, I decided I was going to go for the Pike Place or whatever the black coffee is. And I drank it and I felt so adult and sophisticated, but yeah, so it was pretty late, I think. But since then, I've just gone. I don't have a sweet tooth. I don't need the sugary stuff so much. So I just really like black coffee without any sugar, without anything sweet. Yeah.
And you mentioned, if we could globally hop for a second, you mentioned mm-hmm. the Paris coffee shop scene, or the coffee scene, the LA scene. That I imagine there is one in New York. I was a kid when we left New York, so I'm not like the coffee scene there. Mm-hmm. And then over in Tokyo, if you were to compare Paris, LA, New York, and Tokyo, like their coffee scenes, and this is going to be sweeping generalizations, but what would you say are the biggest differences in their coffee scenes?
The Tokyo coffee scene that I think is really fascinating. Of course, there are the third wave, all of the kind of hipster brands from all over the world are here, and those are fine. But the old Kisaten culture, which is the old kind of retro coffee shops that have been open for 70, 80, 90 years, mm-hmm. The coffee that they serve is so rich and dark, and they come in these small cups, they're not espresso cups, but they do come in these relatively small cups. And at first I'm so used to just coming from LA and used to American sizes, I would go into these coffee shops and order a coffee, and it would cost about 600 yen, about $6, mm-hmm. just generally. Sure. Generalization, and they would come in these tiny cups. And at first I was like, wow, they're so small. Why? But then you would take a sip and it was just so dark and rich. I realized that, oh, I could never drink a whole, mm-hmm. like a whole tumbler of this or a whole mug of this. Mm-hmm. So the coffee here is in Tokyo is so, the coffee that they call coffee is really dark, and the coffee that we drink in the States, they call American coffee. Mm-hmm. They call it, so when you go into a restaurant and if you order an American, that's when you get what we in America think is black coffee. And I do actually prefer that because it's just, it's more and it's not as dark. Mm-hmm. I with the Kisaten coffee, the black coffee, I usually tend to have to put a little cream into it because it's just so, it's so dark and mm-hmm. it's so bitter. Yeah. So Japan has a very, very long coffee culture, but I think it's really transforming because of the third wave coffee, mm-hmm. All the brands from the States and from Australia and from Europe. Maybe not so much Europe, but yeah, I think the to-go cups are relatively new here. It's a Western thing that started in Japan. But other than that, I mean, I don't know if there's so much. I mean, Paris has a very unique coffee culture, this where they just go and everyone has their espresso in their shots in the morning. But yeah. I don't know. Whenever I go to a new town, the first thing I do is I just go to their cafes and their bookstores, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how I learn about, yes. about the city, about the way people live. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I'm still learning about coffee. I want to be. I don't think I have. I'm just a drinker of coffee, but yeah. I don't really know anything about it. So I would love to learn more and learn about the culture.
That's what
I feel like I'm doing that in Tokyo. I'm doing that in Japan, but I don't really know about
other,
yeah,
about the other cities.
That's a good point. That's probably something that should be incorporated into the name of this podcast. Is it, we're not experts by any stretch of the imagination. I don't actually, I've had people in the coffee industry reach out and I'm just like, no, we're not getting into the nitty gritty expert area. We're just mm-hmm. we're coffee lovers who like to seek it out. Like you mentioned, when we go to a new place, it's one of the things that we do to discover that place is to drink the mm-hmm. coffee there.
So, yes.
Yeah, very good.
Point. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, for me too. It's coffee shops, bookstores, and if they're open and I can go in them, libraries, local libraries.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. So, okay. So if I went into a coffee shop, we're going to go visual for a second. So if I went into a coffee shop in Paris, LA, New York, and Tokyo, what would be the thing that would let us know that we're in the place that we're in? If that made any sense.
Yeah.
Like what would tip us off that we're in Tokyo versus Paris versus New York kind of thing? What would be in the shop?
I think it would be in the kind of the styles and fashion and the behaviors of the customers, of the people drinking the coffee.
Dig into that. Yeah.
Yeah. How, you know, it's really casual in the States where everyone is just, they just have their laptops and they're in their t-shirts and just really casual. Everything is kind of sprawled out all over the place and it's kind of like an extension of their home versus in Tokyo, you would never see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are the shops that people go to work. There are a lot of freelancers and a lot of people who work in cafes, but because of, well, before COVID, because there are just so many people in Tokyo, they sometimes have to have time limits, 90 minutes mm-hmm. or 2 hours. And we can't stay for longer than that mm-hmm. because of they need the turnover. So I think in that way, it's very relaxed in LA. It's relaxed. You can find relaxed places in Tokyo as well, but I'm always looking for a place to work. And I've noticed that not all places welcome the laptop crew and the staying for hours crew and the needing outlets and Wi-Fi crew.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's really all it's in the kind of the expressions and the attitudes of the clientele, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. I did, when I was in Tokyo, I did have to lean more towards the douteurs to stay longer mm-hmm. in a coffee shop than the specialty places. And the coffee, you know, isn't really the strong point in those places.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't go to a lot of chain coffee chains here mm-hmm. in Tokyo because just the quality of the coffee. But you're right. If you want to stay for a couple hours at a time, if you're really desperate and you just need Wi-Fi, you will see me go into a Starbucks and order a hojicha. Like I won't order a coffee. I'll order like a black tea. you will see me drinking.
Or the short size of a coffee. Cause I mm-hmm. love that they had, there are so many Starbucks I've been in that they don't have the super small size, but they have the short size in Japan. And I'm like, fine, I'll invest in that so I can sit here for a little bit.
Right.
Or a long bit. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. So funny. Okay. So the behavior of the people, how about the look of the place? Does that vary a lot in the places that you've been to?
That really varies. I think obviously the whole landscape is changing now in the world as we speak, in Japan, there's a real strong kizaten culture with the retro coffee shops, but those have closed before COVID, before the pandemic, just mm-hmm. with the influx of all the big coffee chains, the trendy coffee, hip coffee chains have mm-hmm. come in and because more people are looking for places that they can stay for longer and work and read and talk and have meetings and things like that. I think the spaces have become more kind of the big windows and the airy, the white, everything is really airy and bright and sunny. And while that's great, I don't tend to go to those. I go to those when I'm in LA because I feel like they're very LA. Mm-hmm. The spacious kind of big windows and like the Intelligentsia in Venice Beach, where it's just people are there, kind of everyone's having a meeting or everyone is working and it's kind of a big warehouse type space. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind that. I love it because it's LA. But when I see that in Tokyo, when I see a Brooklyn inspired something in Tokyo, I'm like, no, this belongs in Brooklyn or this belongs in Portland. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love it if this was in Portland, but I don't think I need it here in Roppongi or Shibuya. I tend to avoid those places. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not on purpose. I just, which cafes do I find myself at? I find myself at kind of the mid-size, you know, maybe the coffee is a little bit pricier than other places, but you mm-hmm. get to know the owner and they know you, they know that, you know, you will order more than one cup of coffee if you're, mm-hmm. if you're there for longer than an hour or two. I think there's a wide variety of cafes and,
yeah.
and various spaces here.
Oh my gosh, they're so good.
I'm looking at my bookshelf right now where I have maybe 10 magazines titled and books titled Tokyo Cafe Book or Tokyo Cafe Collection, because that's they just amazing. Yeah, I mean, they keep coming out with new magazines, new books, new guides, and I buy them all because I always want to know what's
amazes the heck out of me. The first time I went to Tokyo, now granted I've never been fluent in Japanese, so for me it's been searching for stuff in English and mm-hmm. using or not even smartphones, but cell phones that were provided by an employer and have limited functionality and things like that. So I've had a very isolated view of it while I was there. But the first time I was in Tokyo was 2009. And mm-hmm. I just remember the coffee being, it had caffeine in it. But each time we went back, the coffee got better and better. And then or 3 years in, it started to get amazing. Like the specialty shops started to be really easily accessible, and the types of things they were doing were even better than any place else I'd been. And it just exploded, and it was so exciting to watch and to literally experience. mm-hmm. And so, like the last time I was there, last time we lived in Tokyo, we were. I want to say we lived in Ozone, like at the top of the, whatever the red line is. I forget everything now. And we would walk to this sushi place, and then across the street, there was this tiny cafe, and he had, I kid you not, well, this won't surprise you, this might surprise the listeners, two tables. The cafe, and he made his own European desserts, but everything else in there was very beautiful Japanese wood, stylish, gorgeous. And mm-hmm. his coffee was amazing. And that is where I first had Horajuku coffee. And we were talking about that before I hit record. And so we need to spend a second on roasts that you, or brands, what is it even called? On beans that, it's roasting. On roasts that you mm-hmm. like. You mentioned that you've had Horajuku. What are some other ones that you like?
Within Horiguchi or other brands?
Other brands.
There are so many independent shops that I love. There's... Mm-hmm. one called Woodbury Coffee Roasters, which is in my neighborhood, so I can walk there. There, I go to Kyoto a lot for work, and every time I go to Kyoto, I make sure to stop by my favorite Kyoto brands, and just I never leave a town without a coffee, without a bag of coffee beans. There are a lot of independently owned and independently roasted, where these people roast their own beans. Mm-hmm. And I love to buy coffee. I rotate my coffee from there. Horiguchi is delicious as well. I used to live a station away from one, so I used to go often. But in Japan, it's very, depending on what line you live mm-hmm. on, I'm sure you know, mm-hmm. you tend to just frequent the same places yep. depending on. So once we moved away from that place, which was near Horiguchi, I haven't been because mm-hmm. there are no Horiguchi coffees near me. But if I do find one, I'll go and I'll buy my favorite two. They do their kind of number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yep.
So that's how, so it's really easy, and I'll yep. buy my number 3. And yeah, I used to always keep that in stock. But yes, where did I go yesterday? There's a great coffee place called Cafe Shozo, which is in Tochigi, which is in a different prefecture altogether, but mm-hmm. they have a Tokyo branch. And so yesterday I had coffee somewhere else because I needed to get some work done. So I went to Blue Bottle Coffee and I had coffee there. And then right next door on my way home, I stopped by to this Cafe Shozo in Aoyama, which is kind of a trendy area in Tokyo. And mm-hmm. I bought 2 bags of coffee to drink at home. So wherever I am, I will yeah. always look for a coffee mm-hmm. place. And we go through coffee beans so quickly in this place. So I'm always, every couple of days, I'm always out and about buying more coffee.
Yep. Same here. We're actually only a 5-minute walk from, I can't say from downtown, because it's from a street, a main street of sorts. And my husband, like, every 3 days, goes down to get his bag of this and bag of that coffee.
Yes, absolutely. I freak out when we're about to run out.
Yeah.
And like, we don't have anything for tomorrow morning. What do we do?
No, that's not acceptable. I tend to buy the next one when I'm halfway down, because I don't even want to have that moment.
True. You're right. I lied. We never run out of coffee because I always have a spare at least waiting for me.
I mean, to be fair, there's coffee everywhere here as there is in Tokyo. So, I mean, we could just go outside and get some instead of whatever. But it's nice to know that you can make your own in the morning instead of having to be presentable and then you could get.
Yes, it's absolutely the ritual of making the coffee, I think, sometimes more than the coffee itself.
Yep.
So I'm always, when my husband, if he's up or my mom is visiting or something, my brother is visiting, I'm always like, do you want coffee? I can make you coffee. It's just because I love the act of pouring coffee. I love it so much.
Yeah. I started to, oh my gosh, it's really funny, because my husband, we had a year of weird unemployment last year. And so my husband got a job before I did. And so I tried to like wake up earlier and make him coffee, because I was just like, yay, I'm so excited for you. And he was like, could you not do that? Because I really like making it. And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yes, it's true. Everyone has their way and has their.
So it wasn't even taste, it was the ritual. He's like, I really like that's how I wake up, is how I'm when I'm doing the ritual.
It's true.
Okay. So final question. Mm-hmm. We had one of our first, if not our first guest, Anna Blackstead, which is a really good food blog and Instagram account in Prague in the Czech Republic. She talked about a peak coffee experience, and she wanted us to ask future guests what their peak coffee experience, just one experience that blew away every other coffee experience you've ever had. Do you have one of those?
Oh my god, a peak coffee experience. I've had
that a great
so
phrase?
Many. Yes. That is wonderful. Oh my god, I have I think in Kyoto, where they have a very strong, you would think that Kyoto has a strong kind of tea culture, which they do. Obviously, they have the tea ceremony and the matcha and everything, but they have a very strong coffee culture. And to be able to go to a legendary coffee shop where artists and musicians and, you know, one of those kind of Greenwich Village in New York, like the coffee shops there, I think being able to go to a coffee shop called Rokuyosha in Kyoto, which has just a long history and it's kind of legendary in Kyoto. And being able to walk in for the first time kind of as an adult and not being as intimidated as I was in college. I spent 1 year in Kyoto in college as an exchange student from UC Irvine. And I knew that I could go in there. I couldn't open the door. It was too intimidating. There was too much history there. I felt like all the regulars were there, but to be able to go back maybe 10 years later and walk in and kind of still a little bit scared, but order coffee and drink the whole thing and pay my money and walk out in one piece. Oh. felt like kind of a historic moment for me.
Oh, yeah.
So that, and then there's also the Greenwich Village reminded me, Cafe Reggio in the village is, there are cappuccinos. That's when I lived in New York, I would just go there, just to get a feel for what it must have been like back when things were good and artists used to hang out there and writers used to write there. So I think, yeah, there definitely something about coffee connects me to the history and usually to writing and books and writers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm kind of connecting myself to them through the coffee, even though I'm not actually physically producing anything, writing anything, I'm not writing books, but I feel like I can when I'm in those spaces.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. We're not doing this podcast too frequently. I think it's more of like a Malcolm Gladwell kind of occasional podcast. Mm-hmm. But we will be keep, when I run across people who are as passionate about coffee as we are, I'm definitely going to have them on here. So with that in mind, if you know anybody in different parts of the world that love to talk about the coffee that they've experienced, especially I haven't tapped into anybody in Latin America yet or, no, I don't think I've interviewed anybody in Africa either, any country at all in Africa. So if you know anybody in those areas, that'd be great. But the point is, there's a question, I swear, is what should I ask future guests? What are you most curious about in people's coffee experiences as they, like, in pre and post COVID times, maneuver through the world and experience coffee?
If you could travel anywhere right now for a cup of coffee, where would you go and why?
Ooh, yeah.
How far would you go for a delicious cup of coffee?
Yes. Well, you know what I make people do after they come up with a question, though? Which is kind of cool. They have to answer it. So you see, how far would you go for a good cup of coffee?
Oh, I would go to Italy in an instant.
Yeah.
In an instant. And yeah, not, I wouldn't just go for the coffee. I would stay for a while.
Right.
And drink lots and lots and lots and lots of coffee. But yes, I'm really itching to go to Italy, have for a long time.
Yes. Yes. And yes, I was not into coffee the first three times I was there, two because I was a child and one because I just wasn't into coffee yet. And I came to it late in life like you did. And last time we went was about a year ago, and oh my God, I must have had five a day because I was wait, this stuff is amazing.
Yes, yes, yes. I know. I can't even believe I'm talking about coffee without having ever gone to Italy.
Okay. Post-pandemic, that's got to be the top of your list.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's on my list. Yeah. It's on my coffee destination.
Yeah, just everything. We tried so many different kinds and so many different places, and it just, there was no such thing as a bad coffee there. It was, and we tried. We're like, oh, this place looks like crap. Let's go in here. Oh no, that was really good.
right. I love that. We tried.
We tried. Because I'm like, yeah, I want to know what bad coffee tastes like here too. No, good luck.
Yeah. Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
And it the is. Food. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, but I could go on. But I mean, what hasn't been said about food, coffee, and it's one stereotype that exists for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Well, oh my gosh. Well, I'm so thrilled that we've been able to do this. And for the listeners, feel free to listen to this and to Yuki's Geopath Books episode. I'll have all of the information to the places that we've mentioned and that previous episode in the show notes for you. Or at stephfuccio.com/geopathcoffee. Thank you so much, Yuki, for coming back on the Geopath
Network. Thank you, Steph. That was so much fun.
very fun. I have to go drink a lot more coffee now.
Oh yeah, it's morning for you, so you can.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.